Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Great show for you today. Second hour, Tim Staples is going to be here. And we're going to do something that we have found is just delightful to do with Tim Staples. Turn them loose on the non-Christians. If you're not a Christian, second hour is for you. We'll ask you, why aren't you Christian? And if you're not a Christian and you're willing to talk to a Catholic apologist about your decision not to be Christian, then we'd love to have you here. 888-318-7884. First hour, is God calling you? That's the question for this hour. And our good friend, Father Mark Gandolfo, is here. He's a priest of the Diocese of San Diego and director of, I'm going to say it wrong, vocations director? Is that correct?
I mean, basically, yes, that is the colloquial title, but officially director of priestly vocations.
Director of priestly vocations. Father Mark Gandolfo, thank you for coming back. It's nice to have you here again.
I was excited to be welcomed back. I was worried that my first time wouldn't have gone so well that I wouldn't be asked back, you know?
You know what? After that first one where you were here, we all got together and we said, he'll get better if we do it again. So does that make you feel better about the whole thing?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I did get a couple notes, so that was really good. Yeah, I got a couple of helpful notes on my presentation last time. So I think
this will
be even better this time.
Who gave you notes? Yes. It wasn't the bishop, was it?
No. The bishop wasn't. The bishop did not give me notes. No.
It was, I didn't give you notes.
No, it wasn't you either. I got a note to speak closer to the microphone. Yes.
I get that same note all the time.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about getting notes. It was Darren then. Yeah.
And what? It was for sure Darren.
It was definitely Darren. Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah, he has this thing about talking into the microphone, not saying all the time. He's very strict. He's very strict about it.
Yes, very strict.
All right. So I bet you get this question a lot, but I'm going to ask it for all the young people listening there. And I was about to say to you before we started the show and then the music started and I didn't say it. I think, and I'm maybe this is not controversial, but maybe I'm just old and coming to this conclusion. There are a lot of people in the world, especially young people, who don't realize how happy they would be in a religious vocation. They just don't, it doesn't even occur to them how happy that would make them. Maybe it's in a monastery or a convent. Maybe it's as a diocesan or religious priest. Mm-hmm. But they would be, not that they would be like, you know, living a life of pain and drudgery that's, you know, a heroic rejection of the light and beauty that they gave up. But they would actually have fun and they would have a great time.
Yeah.
So I'll start with this question. How do I know? How do I know if I've got that vocation?
That is the million-dollar question. And some people, it's through no fault of their own, right? Maybe didn't even have a really strong religious upbringing, right? Maybe they were Catholic, but they only went to Mass on Sundays and weren't really involved in their parish and didn't really do anything with their parish and maybe didn't even really pray outside of Sunday Mass. Maybe that was all that I did as a family growing up. And so to them, a religious vocation or a priestly vocation wasn't even in the realm of possibilities because they never interacted with a sister or really interacted with their priest other than, oh, that's the guy who wears the fancy robes on Sundays who sits in that comfy chair, right? That's their extent of maybe a religious vocation. And so that's also a part of my job, right? As going around to all these different parishes and meeting with different men and women and trying to at least plant a seed of the possibility of that vocation to people that maybe have never even thought about it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really at the heart of what my job is as the director of priestly vocations. And that's helping people at least even begin to think about that possibility and then showing them how to even look into that possibility.
Yeah. So they don't know. They don't have even the – but if you have the question, how do I know if I have the calling, that is at least a prompting that it's in the realm of all the possibilities. Mm-hmm. So do you go straight to the desert and fast for 40 days or how do you do this?
Yeah, no, actually we tell them to buy a ticket to the Holy Land and to go and to live in Jerusalem for many, many years. Yes. Okay. And then come back. No. Usually, I mean, it begins by, for me, I ask a lot of questions. You know, I ask, how is your prayer life currently? And if they say, oh, non-existent, then I say, okay, well, you got to start there. If they say, oh, I have a robust prayer life, then we'll ask follow-up questions as what does that mean to you, right? What does a robust prayer life mean? Oftentimes people will say that, and I think I mentioned this last time, people say they have a robust prayer life, and it's really great, right? Maybe they have devotions that they use, or they pray the rosary, or they read from scripture, and they have periods of even quiet meditation, which is great. But sometimes they say, but I still don't hear God's voice, so how do I even know that there's a possibility of a religious vocation? Usually then I'll say, okay, that's great. You have a robust prayer life. Well, then do you have good relationships with priests or with men and women who are in religious orders? And they'll say, nope. And I'll say, okay, well, start that, right?
You know, mm-hmm.
For women, there's a couple of religious orders here in San Diego that I put them in touch with, and I say, just go and talk with them. Mm-hmm. You know, spend an hour talking with one of the sisters, asking them all the questions that you have, and just being really frank about your questions and about your struggles and your worries and your fears, and they'll be able to help you just in that 1 hour with sort of getting rid of a lot of the sort of false misconceptions of what religious life truly is. And you'll get to see, honestly, how happy they are, how joyful people in religious vocations are. Because I think a lot of people see that as exactly as you said, right? They see religious sisters as just being like maybe sad. You know, they think of them as just, you know, sitting in a chapel praying all day and that being like a miserable life. But, I mean, a saintly life, right? Sure. I mean, there's sort of a beautiful possibility of sainthood as you offer your life up in that way, sure. But it's not just that, right? It's not like all religious sisters experience that. Most of them, most of the ones that I know at least, are the most joyful people.
Right, right, you know, right.
I want the joy that some of these sisters have, honestly.
That's what does it for me too, Father, is that, and I'm glad you send people to experience it, because I remember one time when I worked for the diocesan newspaper here, I went up to the hill and interviewed the Carmelite sisters. Mm-hmm. And those are like, they're like, you don't even go in the same room with them. Mm-hmm. There's like a screen between the two.
Oh yeah.
They were so funny and sweet, and they just seemed to be like full of life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, nobody knows what's going on behind that screen. Mm-hmm. These people that like, because they're living this life of prayer and devotion, and they're probably people who, you know, if they weren't sisters, they would like beauty and calm and peace, and mm-hmm. then they went into the convent, and that's the life that they live. They live a life of beauty and prayer, and I was so struck with that. Like, I have to say, a weird word occurs to me sometimes when I'm around really people who are living this vocational life mm-hmm. of holiness, and it's normal. Mm-hmm. Like I have the weird feeling like, yeah. Oh, I'm in the presence of a normal person. Yeah. Whereas often when you're in the presence of everyday people, you don't immediately have, like, it's almost like it brings out the normal
sure.
in people. What do you think of that?
No, I think that's totally true. And there's a, as soon as you said that, I was taken back to one of my, in my seminary days, one of the gentleman who's now a priest of the Diocese of Orange, who's a little older than me, a couple years older than me in priesthood, but also in life, he's substantially older than me. He's the same age as my father, but we were kind of contemporaries in seminary. He would always say his running line would be just be normal.
Yeah,
you know, just be normal. But I think it's true. You know, you meet some of these people and you think, oh, you're in religious life or you're a priest. Like, you must be really weird, right? You must be like a total weirdo, and people just can't be around you, and so that's why you went in this particular direction,
yeah,
right?
Right.
There's a conference that I went to of vocation directors back in August, and there was some religious vocation directors there too. And the running joke in vocation directors is, you know, if there's any weird ones, you send them to the religious orders. You send the
sort of odd candidates
to religious orders.
Right. You seem like you'd make a great Franciscan.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's the running joke, right? We don't actually do that, but that's the sort of joke. One of the, I think it was a Dominican, stood up at the conference and said, just letting you know, we don't want the weird ones either. And I thought that was hilarious. The whole room died laughing.
Yeah. This is a healthy life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what maybe people have a almost like movie version of what a nun is or mm-hmm. what a priest is. And it doesn't seem like a healthy life to them.
Sure.
But it's a life of friendships. It's a life of prayer. It's a life of service. It's mm-hmm. a very full, healthy life.
Oh, it's extremely full and healthy. And I think when most people think of religious life, specifically, you know, let's just stick on sort of being religious women, right? I think it's oftentimes people, and this was a great movie that sort of helped promote religious women, but at the same time was problematic, right? Sister Act, the movie Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg, right? I think a lot of people, when they see that movie, they think, oh my gosh, those sisters in the first half of the movie, I would never want to be with those sisters.
Right. They need Whoopi to loosen them up.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in reality, I think most of the religious orders that I've been around are more like the sisters in the second half of the movie, right?
They're
all energetic. They're all joyful. They're clapping. They're singing. They're praising the Lord. They're giving their life and service to Him and the people of God with just extreme joy. And I really think most people, when they watch that movie, should get the reality of sisterhood and of religious life for women from the second half, right? That's the reality of it, not necessarily the first of sort of glim and gloomy and sad. And,
yeah, right. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you have questions about your own vocation, you are welcome to call this hour. Father Mark Gandolfo is our guest, the head of vocations here at the diocese. I'm not going to get the technical name. I'm sorry.
You can just say vocations.
The bishop can call me later. Yeah, just, I don't. 888-318-7884. If you're a woman or man, if you have vocation questions, maybe you're a parent, maybe you're a grandparent and you have vocation questions. Whoever you are, if you have a question about vocations in the Catholic Church, 888-318-7884.
Yeah, we love grandparents and parents for sure.
Okay, very, very good. Right back with more, Father Mark Gandolfo.
We're here for you. Call now, Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1981. The FCC license to operate a satellite Earth station, the first ever given to an order of nuns, was granted to Our Lady of the Angels Monastery. Mother Angelica flips the switch and EWTN begins transmitting from Irondale, Alabama.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Father Mark Gandolfo is our guest. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Our topic, vocations, and maybe you've got a vocation question, something you'd like to know maybe about your own discerning of or deciding or choosing the whatever stage you might be in there of how to proceed with a possible vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life. Or maybe you got a question about the kids or the grandkids or parenting towards vocation or whatever. 888-318-7884. Whatever the question is, you are welcome to call. 888-318-7884. Is there a relationship between parenting and vocation?
Oh, 100% there's a relationship. Yes. Okay. Let me clarify. I assume you're referring to parents' involvement and then
and the child vocation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So typically, and I don't have the statistics obviously pulled up, but there is a correlation between the parents', you know, sort of religiosity and their spiritual life and the child's vocations. There are obviously some outliers, as there always are. There's those who maybe grew up with parents who weren't religious at all, and they still found their way into seminary or into priesthood. But obviously that plays a huge impact, whether that's the parents or a guardian or a grandparent, right? There's usually always someone in the family that has a deep spiritual life that draws that young man or woman into a religious vocation. You know, they see how happy and how joyful and how energetic that particular person is in their life, and they're very close with them. You know, I hear often, Oh, my grandma. My grandma was super religious, and we went over to her house every Sunday. And and oh my gosh, she was just an amazing woman. And when she passed, I just kept the faith, you know. And
yeah.
And so it's really obviously a family impact makes a big difference.
That's encouraging, actually, because you don't always know as a parent, you know, and certainly as a grandparent, is any of this getting through?
Sure.
You know,
sure. Is this going in one ear and out the other? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Again, 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. So just the mechanics of it. How does somebody go from being somebody who thinks maybe I have a vocation to being a priest? Mm-hmm. Give me the mechanical side of that.
Yeah. So this is really interesting. There's been a shift in probably the last 10 years of how this goes. So typically, if someone was interested in being a priest, they would do the natural thing, is they would go to their parish and talk with their parish priest, whether that be the associate pastor or a retired priest that's in the parish or the pastor themselves. They would go physically to them and talk to them. That's completely changed nowadays.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on who you ask, the shift is like, if I'm interested in priesthood, I go to the internet and I
didn't think about that.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I look up videos and I listen to podcasts. Hopefully this one, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they go see videos, and after they've watched apparently every single video that's available on the internet.
Right.
Then they go to the parish priest. Right.
So, okay. So now they're an expert in a certain way.
Apparently. Yes.
Yeah. That, I suppose that could pose problems, that the person doesn't come just with a sense of inquiry, but they've actually kind of been formed already in their expectations.
Yeah. So, I mean, luckily, most of the videos that, at least that I've seen or that people have showed me online, are very, very helpful and very good. And they're from joyful priests. So that helps my job a little bit. But they do come with the sort of their own expectations already because of those videos. And not that I'm trying to change those expectations, but, you know, maybe it's having to be a little bit more realistic on those expectations. And
well, but how do they end up with you? Like they watch all the videos, they watch every video they could.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of understand that, you know, this big deal. You're just going to watch everything you can get your hands on.
Yeah.
And then maybe they go to the pastor or the associate pastor and they go, I've now watched all the videos. What do I do next? And that's how they get to you?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Luckily, a lot of those videos, at the end of them, the priest will say something like, oh, if you have more questions, contact your vocations director.
Okay.
And that may be the first time they've ever even heard that title before, right? Maybe they've never even heard of the title of vocations director. So they say, okay, what is that? And so then they go and Google vocations director, you know, San Diego, and my mugshot comes up, and then they say, okay, I'll email this guy, and then they email me, and that's
it's so electronic.
Yeah.
It's all, yeah, and I get that. I that shouldn't be surprising. Everything is now. Like, I don't know the last time I was in my bank branch, you know, so I but this is such a kind of a hands-on job. This is not a work from home type job.
Correct.
So at some point they've got to get into a community, right? Mm-hmm. They've got to be connected.
Yeah, and that's one of the first things when they meet with me, I ask them, how connected are you to your parish? You know?
Okay.
And have you talked with your parish priest? And do you know them well? And they'll say, no.
Yeah.
They always say no. Well, not
every
always.
Time.
Always say no. No.
Some, but they mostly say no.
I mean, there's a good number of them that I met with that have said, you know, I go to Mass, but I'm not really connected. And so then I say, okay, well, you should get connected, you know, because if you're thinking about parish priesthood, right, as diocesan priesthood, which is mostly in parishes, you know, that's the life that you're going to be living. And if you don't like that as a layperson, probably won't like it as a priest, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to go get some experience of it. Find out if it is something that appeals to you. All right. So they do that and they come back to you. I really love what Father does. I'm very attracted to this, but I don't know if God's calling me. I don't know. So now what happens?
Yeah. Well, I say, what have you gotten involved in? You know, in what ways have you gotten involved? Usually they'll say, well, I'm an introvert, so I'm the hospitality minister. So I bring the baskets down and
you know,
I, I greet people. And I was like, as an introvert, you like greeting people, but okay, like that's what you want to do. That's fine, beautiful. And they love that. And they say, yeah, I'm, you know, I hand out donuts after mass, or I'm a member of the Knights of Columbus now, or I, you know, I'm involved in this ministry and that ministry, and I just love it. I absolutely love every minute of it. And I say, great, awesome. Do you have a spiritual director? And oftentimes they say, again, no.
Boy.
I know. I'm just getting told no. All the time. Yeah.
Right.
Story of my life.
Maybe do this all in the first meeting, Father. Okay. So
I don't just give them a list sign and say these are the things.
Check all these off. Yeah. So why do they need a spiritual director?
Yeah, because much like when you can't. I like comparing, you know, the discernment of priesthood to discernment of marriage, right? You know, you just can discern by yourself that you're called to marriage, but eventually you have to start dating someone, right? I mean, that you can't just say I'm called to marriage and then
just sit around and wait.
Yeah, no. You have to start getting out there and start dating, and so in the same way, like you can say I'm called to priesthood, and that's great, but then you have to talk with someone else, right? You have to work through that, and you have to really speak that reality out loud to someone, mm-hmm. and talk through your prayer life, talk through the different emotions that you have serving the church and all the ups and downs that come with that. And it's really helpful to talk with that with someone else, you know, who's knowledgeable.
What if, I imagine this has probably never happened to you, but what if somebody were to come to you and say, look, I haven't been perfect, Father. I feel this call, but, you know, I used to be a wild man, a drinker and a partier and I drove too fast.
Sure.
I'm trying to paint a really dark picture.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. You're not speaking from personal experience.
No, that's really no. Important. Yeah, it's so, good to know. But I mean, like, I haven't been a perfect person, but sure. Where do I fit in all this?
Yeah, that's great. The priesthood's for non-perfect people, so you're in the right spot. I mean, yeah, none of us are perfect, surprisingly. Those who've known me for a long time know that I'm not perfect, that's for sure, and nor do I pretend to be, nor does any priest pretend to be perfect. But we're all sinners, all striving to do better each and every day and to live a virtuous life and to live the commandments and striving to do that better each and every day. So we're not looking for perfect people. We're looking for people who are striving for sainthood, right? People who are working each and every day to just simply do better, to live better and to live according to Christ's call to love. And so, I mean, it depends on the level, right? Like if you told me like, oh, well, yeah, Father, I used to live a very promiscuous life, or I used to live a very, you know, dangerous life. I used to drive fast all the time. Okay, well, what does used to mean?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Was that yesterday? Like you,
you got pulled over yesterday? Have you had some time of practicing a virtuous life? Yeah, getting, or at least trying to be virtuous.
Yeah, we're at the onset, if someone is interested in discerning a priestly vocation, I ask how they're doing living a virtuous life. And if they're, you know, if they're striving and doing halfway decent, I say, okay, great. But if they're like, oh, no, I like living a promiscuous life.
Right.
I'll say, okay, well, we got to work on that first. We have to sort of grow in virtue first.
Right.
And then we can really start to discern. Because if you start to discern first before sort of rooting out some of that vice, then that vice can block out and can be detrimental to your discernment.
Right, right. It's very hard to hear God clearly if you're ignoring him all day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do what you want.
Correct, yes. Right.
I'm pretty good at that.
I talk to him at night.
Yeah,
so
right.
I ignore him all day and then talk to him at night, yeah.
Yeah, right. When he I have the lights out so he can't see me. 888-318-7884, the number we're going to Norman, Illinois, where Tim is waiting. And Tim, thank you for starting us off. Go ahead with your question for Father Mark Gandolfo.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So my question is, I'm a father of five, and, you know, we go to church every week, and we're trying to encourage our kids to be good, holy people, of course. And when it comes to the encouraging vocations, it's something that, you know, we really believe in. Mm-hmm. But I want to know how to approach encouraging them into seeking that path, mm-hmm. if we know people personally who've had bad experiences in that job.
Wow. Okay, Tim. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. That's a very good question. And I was waiting for Sai to comment on the fact that you're from Normal, Illinois, and we were talking about being normal.
You just got to be normal. I think this is, yes.
So I was waiting for him to comment on that. But
I was slow on the uptake. Sorry, Father.
It's okay. That's what I'm here for, here to help. But no, Tim, it's a really great question. Yeah, there's been a lot of painful realities behind priests who have struggled in their vocation, who have done things from that struggle and that their own pain and their own suffering and caused others pain and suffering. That is, I mean, it's painful for us as priests to see and hear that. And there's a sort of a zealous, righteous anger that some of us younger priests have towards those, but also those priests, I should say. But also there's a desire to see reconciliation and to see healing and to really help with that. And I hear the music, so I'm going to try to be quick about this.
Or you can wait till the other side. It's up to you.
Yeah. Tim, are you okay with waiting until we come back from break?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Thanks very much. It'll be a very brief break and we'll come right back. Father Mark Gandolfo is our guest. So we're talking vocations. If you have a vocation question, your own or one that you're asking on behalf of someone else, 888-318-7884.
What is the Catholic Church? Everybody seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people try to make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Stigmata, the appearance of Christ's wounds on ordinary believers. Is it real or fake? What's the evidence? And if real, what could God's reason be for causing this? In God's Wounds, author John Clark offers what may be the most thorough, honest, and faithful reckoning with the stigmata ever written, examining the evidence and making sense of it both medically and spiritually. Order God's Wounds today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Father Mark Gandolfo, our guest. We're talking vocations, and just two lines open now, but you can get on those lines if you'd like. Maybe you have wondered yourself, do I have a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life? Would I be happy as a sister in a convent or as a sister working in the world? Would I be happy or would I be doing what God wanted me to do if I were a priest or a brother? If that's you, give us a call, 888-318-7884. That is what Father does during his days. He is the director of the Office for Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego. And Tim is in Norman, Illinois. He's got five kids. And look, their kids growing up in the world today, they know there's a lot of scandal and negativity around priests. And you were in the midst of answering how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Yeah, no. Tim, are you there?
Questions more.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my question more is about how do you, you know, when you encourage your kids to get a job, or in a calling, if it's a difficult job, you know that it's going to be a difficult job for them. How do you encourage them to take on such a difficult role in their life?
Oh,
Mm-hmm. That's a good clarification. And I think it's important to recognize that every vocation is difficult, right? I would assume you would agree with me and say that marriage isn't easy necessarily. I mean, again, I'm not married myself, but I assume you would agree, right? Would you say marriage isn't easy, right?
I guess it's easy if you're called to it.
Exactly. So there we go. You took the words right out of my mouth. So if they are called to priesthood, right, then it will be easy, you know, and not easy in the sense of like less difficult, but the sort of doors or the pathway to it will be guided by God in a way that the doors is constantly are opening, and what comes with that is a peace and a joy that is easy, right? It's not challenging or difficult. I mean, it's difficult. I shouldn't say that. Priesthood and marriage is difficult, but it is sort of with the grace of God, it comes naturally, right? And so I think that's an important way that you can, you know, speak the truth to your kids about where they're being called and say, hey, if it is priesthood, at least being open to that possibility. I think a lot of people, maybe their parents, as parents, are worried that their kids aren't going to be happy in a particular vocation and therefore don't want to even have that as a possibility. It doesn't sound like that's you, but some parents think that way. And so I would just encourage you just to be open to the possibility of whatever vocation, whether that be religious life or priesthood, and know that if the Lord is calling them, that it'll be everything they could have hoped for and even more that you can't even imagine. And so just being open to that reality and introducing them to possibilities, possibly some priests or religious women that live in your area that you think would be a good example for them. And yeah, so maybe it is your pastor, or maybe it's a priest, you know, a couple parishes over that you think is really great that you would like your son to meet, or a sister nearby that you'd like your daughter to meet.
What do you think, Tim?
Thank you. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. That that worry as a parent if your kid ends up in a profession that they think is for them, but then ends up not being.
Yeah, but this is a parent's job to worry. Yeah. That is the parent's job. Tim, thank you. God bless you. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to Oklahoma City now. Joshua is in Oklahoma City. Joshua, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Father Mark Gandolfo.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Father, for taking this call. I am a 41-year-old male, and I actually had joined the seminary when I was younger, but my journey through kind of got halted because of a few different things, a lot of it dealing with my family. My parents got divorced. My dad had a heart attack. I had some family members die. And so I stepped away for about 10 years, I actually stepped away from the church completely. And I've come back to the church. I've been reconnected with my parish. I do the breviary. I pray my rosary. I'm a part of the Lights and Nights of Columbus and all this stuff. But I still feel called to serve the church in this unique way. But I don't know if I'm too old or if I'm too broken to even try, and I don't know where to start, and I feel useless in the church.
Thanks, Tim. Joshua. Sorry. Thanks, Joshua, for really opening up your heart right there and sharing, those sort of details about what was going on in your life when you left seminary, and so thank you for being open about that and sharing that. And I would begin by first saying, I don't think you're too old or too broken, but every diocese has their own rules about age. So I would recommend contacting your vocation director and seeing what their age requirements would be, because every diocese is slightly different with that. Here in San Diego, you would not be too old, but other dioceses have different age requirements. So I'd recommend you reach out to your vocations director for the requirements of your diocese. In terms of brokenness. I wouldn't say you're too broken. I would say that maybe you are still in need of some healing from those situations. And so I would recommend, if you haven't already, talking with a Catholic counselor or a therapist and really kind of working through maybe some of those experiences that you had, and being honest with how you responded, both in, you know, positive ways and negative ways to those experiences, because that can really help you to unravel and unwrap those really difficult moments in your life, and being honest with yourself and with your counselor about how you experienced those, went through those and handled those. Because it could be that you maybe didn't handle them in the best way at the time, which is totally understandable. I don't want to in any way say that you mishandled them and it was improper. Oftentimes when pain or suffering comes in, we don't handle the situations in the best way, but we're still in need of healing of those wounds, and it could be the case that you still need to heal a little bit. And so, yeah, I'd recommend two emails or two phone calls, one to a counselor, unless you're already meeting with one, and then that's great. But then the second would be to your vocations director to see what the requirements would be. But I don't think you're useless. I don't think you're too broken. And I don't think you're too old.
What do you think, Joshua?
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's hard to live in this world as a single person, you know, especially when the church is constantly, you know, telling you that, priesthood or the marriage life, you know, there's no in between.
Oh, and, yeah.
Well, and to hear, I think.
Well, I hope it was helpful, Joshua. I'd like to send you a book that we have called Secrets from Heaven. I just love the book. I love to send it to people. Secrets of Heaven. It's about the parables and sayings of the Lord Jesus by a very fine priest friend of ours, Father Sebastian Walsh. If you want it, just hang on the line and we'll send it to you. And God bless you. Thank you very much for the call. Going to Omaha, Nebraska now, where Barbara is listening on KVSS. That's Spirit Catholic Radio. Awful glad to have you here. Barbara, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I teach RE for 6th and 7th graders, and I'm looking for a good gifts assessment to help them discern their path.
Ah, gotcha. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great question. First off, I should say thank you, Barbara, for being a middle school religious education teacher. God bless you, really, and prayers and continued prayers for you in that ministry, because it's a thankless job, and I want to say thank you for that, for all the work that you do. Yeah, a good gifts assessment for children, that's a great question. Unfortunately, I will say there's nothing that immediately comes to mind in terms of an assessment necessarily, like a quiz for them to take. But there's one that I remember doing in seminary about gifts of the Spirit, you know, trying to see it, but I don't immediately remember the website, unfortunately, or the link, I should say. But Cy, do you have any ideas on a gifts assessment?
I got no, Father, I'm completely out of my depth on that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think, Barbara, unfortunately, this shows the humanity of myself, is that I don't have all the answers. But I will say, if you are working with individuals who you think would have good gifts that you can see as their teacher, whether that be leadership capabilities, or if you can see they have great empathy already from the age of a middle schooler, which typically empathy is not one that middle schoolers have all the time. But if you see they have great gifts such as empathy, good leadership skills, are able to listen to you as a teacher, I would say those would be great qualities to sort of direct those kids to a possibility of a religious vocation. That's not to say that if someone, you know, lacks or struggles in those, that they don't have a religious vocation, but those are good qualifiers, right? Someone who is empathetic, someone who is compassionate, someone who is a good leader, and is able to listen not only to the teacher and adults, but to the voice of God. I think those are good qualities to look for. I don't know if I have an official assessment for you, but
yeah.
I don't know if that's helpful.
Well, Barbara, I want to say thank you. We're big fan. Barbara said RE. For those of you who don't know, really, she's a religious educator helping middle schoolers. And we just love that, and we're grateful that you're doing it. If you'd like a copy of our big book of Catholic answers, like 300 questions and answers on the Catholic Church, I'm sure some of them are questions you'll get from kids. If you want it, hang on the line, and we'll send it to you. And thank you very much for the call. I got to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back for more conversation about vocation with Father Mark Gandolfo. If you've got a question about vocation, yours or someone else's, 888-318-7884.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
On Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Father Joseph and Doug Keck mind decades of phone calls answered by Mother Angelica. Mother dishes out teaching, advice, laughter, and plenty of prayers as she takes calls from her family.
Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Sunday afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Father Mark Gandolfo, the director of the Office for Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego. That's where we are out here in the Diocese of San Diego. We got a new bishop this year. We did really well this year. We got a new pope and a new bishop here in San Diego. A lot of people got a new pope.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new pope and a new bishop.
Yeah, and a new vocation director. So that's a big deal. Yeah. That's,
Father, I feel like you're putting yourself in a category. No, you're right. Good for us.
No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm not in the same breath as Pope Leo or Bishop Michael. Definitely not in the same breath.
But yes, you are. Bishop Michael, neither of those guys would want to exclude you. They're very humble and good men. I like our bishop. I got it. He was a priest in my parish when I was young. And I was, because he was a priest in my parish when I was young. He was a baby priest when I was younger than I am now.
I was like,
now.
Well, how old are you, son?
Well, I didn't think he would remember me.
Did he remember you?
Oh, my gosh. He was so gracious. Mm-hmm. I got to interview him for the local Catholic radio station. Mm-hmm. The guy, he just couldn't be, and I thought, if, 20 years later, he still remembers me, because in my mind, the world revolves around me, I'm going to love him forever as a bishop now.
Sure.
Maybe
you did something very wrong, and that's why he remembers.
he remembers me from confession. He's like, oh, I remember you. All right, let's get another call in here. We're talking vocations. Our guest is the director of the Office for Vocations here in San Diego. And we're going to go to Front Royal, Virginia, where Jim is listening to EWTN Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Glad to have you, Jim. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I have a son who is currently in his first year of seminary.
Oh, praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Yes, praise God. I just wanted to share with your listeners that have been listening to you just sort of the experience that we didn't see coming, but in looking back, now it all makes sense.
Okay.
Right? So okay. We've got a somewhat large family. That depends on your definition of large. You have 7 kids. That's medium, by the way, if you're in Front Royal.
Oh, I didn't.
Large Catholic population. But so what we couldn't always provide financially to our church, we provided through service. We always stayed to put up the chairs, sweep the floors, clean up the classrooms, and to serve on the altar. And I think that from a young age, service became part of our kind of family dynamic. And unbeknownst to us, my wife and I, here's this young boy up on the altar watching the priest every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And at some point, it got into his head that, hey, I think I'd like to do that. Mm-hmm. So he started bringing it home, started playing church and mass at home, or liturgy. Actually, we're Byzantine, so he would play divine liturgy at home. He'd force his younger brothers to be both the congregation and the altar servers. And we just left the door open. We didn't push it. Mm-hmm. We didn't prevent it. We made available whatever, you know, if he needed a chalice, we would have some goblet we could give him to use. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just left him in the hands of the Lord and just practiced the faith to the best of our abilities at home. We did, say, daily prayers with the family. And just, I think, what I would encourage some of your adult listeners particularly, I think two things I would say. One, for those who are adult listeners, like some of the last few callers that you had, you know, if you're maybe not ready exactly for seminary, maybe you're ready for service, altar service. Go to your priest and say, hey, I'd like to be an altar server. In the Byzantine church, we have adult altar servers all the time. It's not just limited to kids, and we definitely, and this is going to be controversial, we have no girls on the altar because girls never become priests. So in the Eastern church, the tradition is only boy altar servers because we're looking for priests. And,
Jim, I
want
to. It's a beautiful testimony that you've given about your son, and I love the stuff about playing priest as a child. But did you want to respond to what Jim
yes,
had to say?
Yes, yeah, Jim, I do want to respond to a couple of things you said because I think you were spot on. I think yes, getting involved with your parish is really important, and serving in some capacity, right? I think that's very, very important to serve in some capacity and to be involved. And altar serving is a beautiful way to do that. I myself, the earliest possible time that I was allowed to become an altar server, I became one. I tried to become one earlier, but they told me I was too young, so I just, you know, sat angrily at Mass as I watched the altar servers do their thing, and I wasn't allowed to be up there. But as soon as I was allowed to, I got up on the altar to serve, and I took it seriously because even from a young age, I saw the importance of the role of an altar server and service to the people of God and the church. So, yes, spot on, do that. And then another thing that you've hit on is the importance of praying as a family and family life in fostering a vocation. I think that's very, very important. And I think people take that for granted, that how those moments cultivate a person's vocation and cultivate their relationship with Christ. I think that cannot be underplayed. And so please, yes, continue to pray with your family. If you have a big family or a small family, pray with your kids and be involved at the parish. And that is one way that you can help foster their vocation. And play Mass. I played Mass as a kid. My pastor growing up gave me his old Mass kit as a thing to like practice Mass with. And I think it was great. I practiced Mass as a kid, and my older brothers, I also forced them to be the altar servers and congregation in my Mass. So I think it's perfectly normal to do that. So whatever you can do to help foster that, and just to be open, as I said, and as you said, to whatever that looks like.
Thank you very much, Jim. I'm going to keep going, try to get everybody on if I can. So you got to seminary and you're like, I already know how to do this. I already have my own Mass kit. Yeah. Like, I don't need
Mass
you people.
Practicum. Yeah.
You might just want to ordain me now. Yeah. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I did not think that at all. I wanted that, but no, I didn't think that.
All right. I got an off-air question for you, and I don't have a name for the person. I'm sorry. I just was given the question. As a parent, how does one help a child to discern, especially if the child is feeling a strong call to motherhood, but now feeling a slight tug towards being a nun?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've seen this with young men as well. You know, there's a strong desire for fatherhood, and they feel a tug towards priesthood. And I'll say the same thing about women, as I said about men. Some of the best qualities that make a great mother, some of the best qualities that make a great father, make a great religious sister and make a great priest, right? Some of the same great qualities.
Yeah.
And so there could be a tug towards motherhood or a tug towards religious life, but you have to see which one the Lord is tugging you to. You know, there's a book that I give to young men who are discerning priesthood, and it's called To Save a Thousand Souls. It's by Father Brett Brannan. It's a really good, really wonderful book for those who are thinking about priesthood. He brings a lot of real lived experience. He worked at a seminary, was vocations director for a very long time, and then he brings a lot of good stories. But he talks about four voices. So when you're discerning, there are four voices that one often hears. So your own voice, the voice of God, the voice of the world, and then the voice of the evil one, the voice of Satan. And so you have to discern which one of those four voices you are hearing in your prayer life. And so as you're discerning, you're kind of like knocking off voices, right? So you'll hear something, you'll say, okay, who is that talking to me? You'll say, okay, well, that's not the devil. Great, awesome. It's not the world. Okay, so then it's either me or God. And so you're seeing, okay, well, is this God that's tugging on my heart towards being a religious sister, or is this myself tugging on my own heart, mm-hmm. And my own voice that's leading me there? And so if someone feels that they're being tugged to both being a nun and being a mother, they need to see, okay, well, who's tugging? Is it the Lord that's tugging on my heart, or is it maybe my own desires that are tugging on my heart?
I was going to say thank you to the caller, but that's a question that the person didn't stay on the line. So I don't actually have a name for that, but thank you.
So you can
very
still
much.
Say thank you, right?
I just had to make it a more elaborate thank you, Father. If you're the director of the Office for Vocations, you said you send women who come mm-hmm. Considering vocations to, you have a couple of women's religious orders. Mm-hmm. What about men who might come in and you think, and I'm not talking about you're trying to get rid of these men.
Sure,
I'm talking about men you might go, yeah, I think this guy might have mm-hmm. a vocation, but he's a missionary, mm-hmm. or maybe he's a contemplative, mm-hmm. or what do you do? You don't just have a quota where you're trying to just get them all in, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Trying to be helpful to people.
I don't get a bonus by the amount of guys that I get into seminary.
Okay. All right. I'm actually glad to hear that.
Contrary to popular belief. Yes. Yeah. It doesn't work. I don't get an extra $1,000 for every five guys I get in or anything like that.
Well, that would be a low bonus anyways.
That's true.
Is worth more than $200. Come on.
I mean, that's true, but tough times. It's tough
yeah,
times.
Yeah, tough times in the church. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, the economy is at an all-time low. So, But I'm not trying to fill a quota. So I'm really, it really is about the person that comes to me.
Okay.
I am trying really hard to help them discern where God is calling them to.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone comes to me and they say, Father, I feel like I'm called to be a priest. And I'll say, okay, great. And I say, tell me about yourself. And maybe everything that they say or every word points to the reality that they just want to sit in a library or sit in a chapel and pray all day. Okay, well, that's not really the diocesan priesthood,
No, right. Yeah.
You're
going to be at the hospital quite a bit.
Correct. You're going to be at the hospital quite a bit. You're going to be in meetings with people. You're going to be sitting with people in the church and OCIA or the Order of Christian Initiation, I should say, for adults. And so there's plenty of things that you're going to be out and about doing. So, we do pray. We find time for prayer throughout that. But we're secular priests. We're priests of the world or in the world, I should say, not of the world. So if someone comes to me and they say, all I want to do is learn and pray, then I'll recommend a religious order to them because typically that's what their charism is. So here in San Diego, we have Benedictines, we have Franciscans, we have Paulists, we have Jesuits, we have there's just so many here in San Diego.
Right.
Augustinians. So, if someone...
The Pope is an Augustinian. How did you put them last? You need to work on your politics, man. You say Augustinians first from now on.
I'm not really in the political thing here.
Okay.
But yes, Augustinians, my favorite.
Me too, my favorite order.
Number one. I send all my guys to the Augustinians. Yeah. Again, no. If that's what they're saying, I recommend checking out some of these other religious orders here in San Diego. And I do the same thing for the people in other dioceses. See what religious orders are in your diocese and go and visit them. Go and talk with one of them. Set an appointment with the abbot or the superior in your local area and just have a coffee with them and chat with them about what life in the monastery looks like. Yeah. They have a vocation director too, you know? So the orders also have a director of vocations. So talk with them and see exactly what the day-to-day life looks like. You know, I my seminary that I went to was a Benedictine monastery. And so I got to know with the Benedictines really, really well. And they're also normal people, you know? Yeah, there were times where...
Even the Benedictines. Even, is that what you're saying?
Even the Benedictines. Okay. I should say, even the Augustinians are normal people. Yeah. No, but yeah, after evening prayer, we would play games together. So yeah. Normal people.
You have a vocation, you have a director of the Office of Vocations in your diocese, wherever you are. Where should people go? I know you don't want them just to go online, but where's a good place? USCCB? Where's a good place for information to
go? So USCCB has a lot of information, so you can go to the vocations page on the USCCB. Also, your diocesan website has a lot of good information, or just go talk to your priest.
May we have your blessing before we go.
Yes, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Mark Gandolfo, thank you so much. It's always fun when you come in here.
Yeah, it's been great.
Augustinians are the best, aren't they?
They're the best. Everyone should be Augustinians.
Get in there, guys. Augustinians. All right, we'll be right back with Tim Staples. Why aren't you Christian? Our next hour on Catholic Answers Live.